Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6 once again. And my text is going to be from Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 down to verse 18. And I want to speak with you on the subject of fasting. We look around us in many religious circles, and there's a lot of emphasis on fasting, where public fasts are called, or people are encouraged to fast during the week in order to receive some greater blessing from God. Now, the first thing that I want to say is that in the New Testament, nowhere do we find our Lord commanding his followers to fast. People act as if this is a commandment given to the church. It's not. You won't find any commandment by the Lord Jesus Christ that his followers are to fast. I know some religious organizations during certain times of the year encourage their people to fast to get closer to God, or fast as a way of somehow diminishing their sin before God. But that is not what diminishes sin before God. No amount of fasting could ever cause us to sin less. In fact, if people were honest, whenever they deprive themselves of food or water for any amount of time, it stirs up within them, in their thoughts, in their mind and heart, all kinds of evil. They begin to think of all kinds of things, and it's just the contrary. Their mind is not on God, but rather on their flesh and how they're depriving themselves. So I want us to look here at what our Lord tells us about fasting, beginning with verse 16 of Matthew 6. He says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward."
Now
notice verse 17. He says, but thou, when thou fastest. He does not prescribe any particular day or time, but simply says, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
Ndimaka 17 akuti koma iwepo sala kudya ndauri sala rine tsivu ni nthawi imene munthu ayenekera kusala kudya ayi koma nthawi imene iweyo wakufuna kusala kudya wekha pa wekha dzola mutu wako ndi kusamba nkhope yako kuti usaonekere kwa anthu kuti uli kusala kudya koma kwa atate wako ali mtseri ndipo atate wako wakuona mtseri adzakubwezera iwe.
I once had someone ask me whether I fasted, and I said to him rather lightly, well, if I am or do, I wouldn't tell you because the scriptures say not to let it be known whether we fast or not. And then I told him, I said, actually, I fast between meals. I eat, and then I don't eat again until the next meal. So that's fasting. That's why they call it break fast. When you sleep all night, you get up, as soon as you take some nourishment, you've broken your fast. You haven't eaten all night.
Hallelujah. Breakfast.
So there may be times when we'll be deprived of our normal habit of eating or drinking for various reasons. Sometimes you may be so busy that you don't have time to stop to eat. Well, you're fasting until the next time that you're able to partake. But as I said, the Lord never commands any of his disciples that they must not eat or not drink during certain periods of time like you see in religion. So any religious leader who commands a fast or restricts certain foods is doing so without any warrant from the Bible itself. The Bible nowhere tells us to tell those that hear us that we're to cause them to fast at certain times. Now in the Old Testament, for some of the feast days, for example, the Day of Atonement, it was a day of worship and therefore one in which the people were to come aside for the day and not to think about eating or drinking, but that it would be wholly dedicated as a time of worship. That was part of the feast day, the Day of Atonement.
majitsanzo mbaibulo munani ndawe zina mari nthawe ya 0 mune anzu amakhala pamodzi kwa tsiku la thundu ali pamodzi kupemphera chitetezero kwa mulungu achitopa moyo wawo akafuna mulungu akhudza ndi kupulumutsa miyoyo yawo pa nthawe imene nalinga ndito kusala kudya chifukwa amakhala nthawe yayitali osadya ali pamaso pa mulungu.
Leviticus chapter 16 and verses 29 to 31 gives us an example of fasting that occurred on the Day of Atonement, the one day a year when the blood was shed and taken in and sprinkled on the mercy seat, and the people were to look to the Lord for another year of forbearance and forgiveness. That was the Day of Atonement.
Ndipotikalo ngambuku la Levitiko mutu 16 ndi mwaka 29 utsika musimo tikaonanso kuti mulungu adakonzekeretsa ana Israeli munthawi zawo nthawiyi ikakhalapo anthu aonekera kungoyo khazikika kusaka ngaiti pokhala pamodzi kumakhala kuti akupanga fasting.
Leviticus 16:29 says, "And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. And it shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever."
Kapena mlendo wakukhala pakati panu popeza sikuli adzachita inu chotetezera kukuyeretsani adzakuyeretsani kuchotserani zoyipa zanu zonse pamaso pa Yehova likhale kwa inu sabata lakupumula kuti mudzichepetse ilo sabata losatha.
So there the command to afflict their souls and do no work was a setting aside of the day, because it was a day of atonement in which blood was shed on behalf of their sins. The blood of the Passover lamb was shed that day, and it was a picture of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which no work was to be done or added to his work. Now there's some religious leaders that will take that scripture and try to apply it today, whereby they call a religious fast for people to afflict their souls, but we don't have today the Day of Atonement. It's finished. When Christ came and finished the work, his work was complete. So fasting on a certain day is nowhere prescribed for those for whom Christ has paid the debt.
Yeno atsogoleri azipembedzo akamamva kuti panafunika anthu ose akhale pamodzi tsiku lakuvutitsa moyo wawo chifukwati pakhala zachitetezero zopha nyama anthu amaganiza kuti ndekuti anthu anekera kukhazikitsa pamodzi anthu apangasala kudya asale kudya komatu chodziwika nchonna kuti anthu achamati akakhala chete pozuzitsa moyo wawo nyama zimaphedwa pamenewo amasala kudya koma sipakukhala mwazi wopeza okhetsedwa po yesu sadafeso pano adafuka modzi kwatha. Choncho sikukulimbikitsaso kutera kuti padenekera anthu kuti akhale mu fasting vesi imeneyi ayi.
So when people ask us today, well, why don't you fast? Why don't you set aside days of fasting like they did in the Old Testament? Our answer is simple. Christ has freed us from the law by his shed blood unto death. And therefore, those prescriptions that we find in the Old Testament are no longer commanded of any for whom Christ has paid the debt. It's finished. Look with me in Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. It says here, buried with him in baptism. And what it's talking about there is that when Christ died, his was a baptism of death. It was a baptism of fire. And when it says buried with him, that means that all of the elect of God that the Father gave him, when he died, they died with him. It's not speaking here of water baptism, but the baptism of his death, where he was immersed into death. When he died, those that he represented died with him. That was their legal death. And the same as with his death, it says in verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are what? Risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. So when he died and rose again, if we were one of those that the Father gave him to save, then his death and his resurrection were our death and our resurrection by the same operation of God. And then we go on to verse 13, where it says, and you, being dead in your sins, or having been dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, notice, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How were the elect of God dead in their sins and the uncircumcision of their flesh? They were under condemnation of the law. The law condemned them just like anybody else. And had Christ not come and died and risen again, that law would have condemned us to this day. It's like Barabbas, on the day that they crucified Christ, he was under the condemnation of death of the law, and most certainly deserved to die until Christ took his place. And when Christ died on the cross, Barabbas was freed. He was no longer under that condemnation. That's a picture of the elect that God has freed through the death of his son. So again in verse 13, connected to verse 12, that when Christ died and rose again, those of us who were under the condemnation of death, notice it says in verse 13, he hath quickened what? Together with him. Raised up together with him. That's not talking about a personal conversion, but that's talking about when Christ rose from the grave, everyone for whom he died rose with him in their state before God. And notice the last sentence in verse 13. It doesn't say that he rose again and we rose with him in order to be forgiven of our sins, but it says what? Having already forgiven you all trespasses. That means his death completely wiped out every transgression of his elect in his death. And that's what verse 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That's the law, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
Adata kutifafanizira chapa ifecho cholembedwa mzoikikazo chimene chidali chotsutsana nafe ndipo anachichotsera pakatipo ndikuchikomera ichi pamtanda.
In the Old Testament, the fasting that was tied to those feast days, like the Day of Atonement, it was because it was forward-looking to the work that Christ would yet come and accomplish. The blood of bulls and goats could not put away sin. And so people were called upon to afflict their souls for their sin. But now it says here, all of that has been blotted out by Christ's death on the cross. Such is the liberty now that we have because there's no more condemnation.
Adamaliza.
So when religious leaders tell people you need to be fasting to afflict your soul in order to get forgiveness of sins, what they're doing is contrary to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What they're saying is that Christ's death really didn't accomplish anything. It's up to you now, by your efforts and your fasting, to somehow receive forgiveness of sins. And that is contrary to the gospel. Colossians 2:15 describes the work of Christ as a victor who came in to conquer and conquered and released those that belonged to him, and therefore, says verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. When he speaks there of having spoiled principalities and powers, that's a military term, to go in and completely ravage the enemy and destroy the enemy. That's what Christ did. He destroyed every enemy that stood against one of his elect, whether it's their sin, whether it's Satan, whether it's the law, all of it was spoiled, taken out of the way by his death. So when people today want to accuse us of not following the Bible, and they'll go back to the Old Testament and they'll try to pull out examples from the Old Testament and say, well, you're still under the law. That's where we say, no, we've been redeemed from the law. We've been delivered from what the law set forth as types and pictures, because Christ is come and he has finished the work. So in these religious groups, and I'm talking about ones that claim to be Christian, they organize their days of fastings and prayer, and then they try to make you feel guilty. They'll say, ah, you're not fasting? You're not joining in with us? And we respond with a loud no, absolutely not, because we're free, because Christ has made us free.
I'm not going to be able to do that.
And that's why in verse 16 of Colossians 2, notice, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, that's with regard to fasting, whether you eat or drink or don't, or in respect of an holy day, it's talking about Old Testament feasts or the new moon, or of Sabbaths, Sabbath days, that they say, well, you have to restrict yourself because a certain day is a Sabbath day. No, he says, let no man judge you. Why? Verse 17, those were a shadow of things to come, but what? The body is of Christ. We're in Christ, and therefore no longer under obligation.
Kavena mkunena tsikula pando, kavena tsikula kala mwezi, kavena la sabata. Musalole muntu kuna kweruzeni, chifoja nasa kweruzeni. Zinduzo sezo, ndizo mtuzi, waziri mkuza. Koma, tupindira Kristu.
The law has not just been set aside. No, it's been fulfilled. That's what Christ said there in Matthew 5:17 that we saw. He didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he has. That's why we live in that freedom that Christ has gained for us. That's why Paul, writing to the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, told them, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You see where Paul went preaching Christ and him crucified and the complete accomplished work of the Lord Jesus at the cross on behalf of his people. There were these Judaizers, these religious Jews that were going behind him like dogs, nipping at his heels and trying to turn people away from the free message of the gospel back to the law again, making people feel that there was still something they needed to do. And I'll tell you, that's another gospel. It's not the gospel. Now coming back to my text here in Matthew 6 and verse 16, someone may ask, well then why does the Lord say, moreover, when ye fast? Why is he even talking about fasting? The reason is that Christ himself had not yet died. He had not yet completed his work. And so even these in his day before the cross, they were to still follow the law and those feast days and the days of fasting as the law prescribed, but it was up until Christ should pay the debt and fulfill it all.
Yesu Kristu na mina adabuera ukatikuwa nilitsila chintu chose chimene fete da chilepera wamefe kato katina lepera ulifikoso kwa nilitsa jila umulo jifastika data kwa nilitsa yeyo nema zikonde kwa nilitsa kwa zose.
So yes, the law prescribed these days and times of fasting up until Christ finished the work. And that's why after the cross, we're in the Gospels here before the cross, but after the cross, you don't find anywhere in Scripture and all the epistles where the Lord's people were commanded to go back under that law and again carry out those practices that were required under the law. Why? Because Christ has made us free. Even before the cross, we know that there were those poor that sat at the gate of the temple and begged for alms of the people. And they were needy and they were looking to the Lord. They didn't have food and drink readily available. And so they were looking to the Lord. They were the Lord's. But the religious Pharisees, that's who's addressed here, as they passed by them, they like to make a show of what they were doing. And that's who the Lord is criticizing here. It's the same ones that we saw early in this chapter that we were studying who like to make a show of their almsgiving or like to make a show of their praying, standing before men, thinking that, causing men to think that they were somebody before God. Same here with regard to their fasting. They had perverted the very nature of what that fasting was about. The Pharisees had made a practice of doing a legal fast twice a week. That's what we find in Luke chapter 18 and verse 12.
You said in Luke chapter
18, verse
12.
The Pharisee in verse 11 says, stood and prayed thus with himself, saying, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And look, verse 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.
The
Pharisees had a practice of holding a fast on Thursday and Monday in the week, because they said, according to their tradition, it was on a Thursday that God called Moses up on the mountain, and it was on a Monday that Moses came back down. They have no proof of that, but they created a whole tradition around it as if somehow now they were following the ways of Moses. Moses, when he was on the mountain, fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord sustained him. But now these, thinking that somehow they would imitate Moses, they chose 2 days out of the week to fast. They didn't fast 40 days and 40 nights. So this was the practice that our Lord was condemning, because it had no foundation at all in Scripture. Never was it commanded that they should have these days to fast, but they're the ones that declared them and decreed them. In verse 16, that's what the Lord is condemning. They would go to the point even of having a sad countenance. Sometimes they would not take a bath, and they would disfigure their faces, somehow put some kind of mascara, some way that they disfigured their faces to show outward agony for what they were doing. And just like with praying to be seen of men, or with giving of alms to be seen of men, even their public show of this type of fasting to be seen of men, the Lord says, calls them what? Hypocrites. That word means actors. They were just acting. And that's why he told them there at the end of verse 16, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You see, it's like he's talking to two different people. I say unto you, that's speaking to those of his disciples, they, he doesn't even count them as among his disciples. They have their reward. Why? Because they do what they do to be seen of men, and that's all their reward. And that's why he says in verse 17, but thou, in other words, those that were following the law as prescribed in the Old Testament, but doing it to the glory and honor of Christ, who was to finish the work, it says, thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but what? Unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
Now
there may be times, even today, that we will set aside to humble ourselves before the Lord. There may be times of distress and grief when we lose our appetite. We really don't have any hunger and thirst because our souls are burdened, and we use those times for strengthening, looking to the Lord for his direction. Those might be times of personal fasting, but nothing is required of us by man or the law. That's as the Lord directs.
Koma yosalengeza kumpingo konse aliense ya paika paika muntawi yake osa dikuta antu adziwe kuti mukusala kudya ayi inipo nthawi ina umakala kuti uli ndi mudzu koma suti tsaludzo lako njala koma osayidyetsa mtima wako kuvutitsa mtima wako pofuna kulepekeza mulungu zimenezi zizichitika mwachinsi kuti osali mmodzi wa gulu ayi.
Throughout my lifetime, I can remember times and seasons of affliction upon me and distress and looking to the Lord for his direction. And I can remember my wife fixing a meal and saying, you know, come eat. And I would just tell her, I'm really not hungry right now. My soul, my burden was to seek the Lord. And I didn't make a show of it, but I just told her I'll eat when the Lord so directs. There are those times that that may be the case because we're under the heavy hand of the Lord, but there's nothing required of us for those times. And also we're not to do it to be seen of men.
Ndikufuna kudzipereka kwa Ambuye osanyakepo kalikonse kapena kumwa madzi komano ndipamuuza mkazi wanga kuti ndikonzere chakudya lero ndili mu fasting ayi akakonza chakudya kuta akandiyamira kuti pabwera chakudya pateo kuta pano panjala siwano akanga kaizitukuna siye ndidya bwino ndidyade ndipete asadziwe kwa Bible kuti asaonekere kwa munthu ena aliyense kuti uli mkusala kudya ayi.
Other times when friends will invite you over to partake in a meal, and you'll just kindly let them know that you're not, you wouldn't be partaking with them. You don't have to make a show of it. You don't have to tell them, well, oh, no, I'm fasting. But you know your heart. And here, as it says, that you're not to do anything to appear unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. The Lord knows our hearts, and he's the one that gives the hunger and the thirst, and he's the one that takes it away. And during those times, we seek his will. The reason we're not to go around looking sorrowful or have a face that looks sullen or disfigured is because it in no way represents who we are as God's children in Christ. He has made us free. And therefore, every day is a day of rejoicing and enjoying the freedom of what he has purchased for us as his children. And therein we rejoice and therein we live, regardless of what the world is doing. Well, I pray the Lord will bless this word to our hearts and truly cause us to rejoice in him as we worship him together. I'll turn it back to you.
To God be all the glory and honor because of the beautiful preaching of the mysterious gospel that you have preached today, my dear brother. You know, there is more ignorance in the minds of people about fasting, even about breakfast. It's a thing that I was not knowing.
Yes.
But today the Lord has spoke to me in another way around. We thank God.
Amen.
Because of these times are so precious, because it continues helping us to understand the mind of God, to understand the true and singular only the gospel that is revealed in the scripture. So we are thankful to God.
Amen.